Hi, welcome to my podcast, Getting Hired Pros Perspective. I have on with us Rick Gonzalez, and he is the Director of Recruiting for Acclivity Healthcare. And since 1999, Acclivity Healthcare has successfully placed over 17,000 top healthcare professionals with over 300 leading healthcare organizations nationwide. Rick, thank you so much for agreeing to allow me to conduct a brief interview for my podcast. And could you kindly share just a little bit more about yourself and Acclivity?
Absolutely. First of all, you're welcome. And thank you for asking me to participate. Very happy to do so. Let's see. I started in the recruiting space actually in 1997. I started out as a military recruiter. My last 3 years in the service, I was a recruiter and then ended up running a recruiting team. And it was a little different than a typical military recruiting assignment because I was only recruiting for advanced programs, cryptology, electronics, nuclear engineering, and things like that. And ever since then, I have either been directly in recruiting or, as I call it, recruiting adjacent. So I've been, you know, in and around the hiring space for about 23 years now. I'm actually very new to Acclivity Healthcare. The owner of the company and I have had a relationship for a long time, and he just reached out to me about 6 weeks ago. And weirdly enough, he is expanding during the COVID-19 pandemic. Uh-huh. And he wanted to launch a new division, so he asked me to come out and get it running for him.
Wow. What is that division that you're...
Yeah, so primarily Acclivity Healthcare, while they have clients nationwide, the vast majority of their business is in Arizona and Texas. And much of what they do is focused on doctor offices, a little bit with some hospital systems. But there's a lot of industry verticals that they've just never really touched before. As an example, home health, telemed, behavioral health, just some specific disciplines they've never focused on. So the new division that I'm starting up is I am bringing on senior recruiters from the healthcare industry, and each one that I bring on is going to get assigned, with a lot of their own input on that, a specific vertical to go in and just dominate that area and become very, very focused on one subsection of the healthcare industry.
Wow. So you'll be actively looking for senior recruiters specifically right now?
Absolutely. I am actively looking for senior recruiters right now.
Cool. All right. Awesome. So for my audience, and that's amazing. It sounds, the amount of growth is incredible. And, you know, I kind of started looking at this as maybe we're in a down market, you know, but there's so many different things happening. You know, it's kind of paradoxical in the sense we're closing and we're opening at the same time.
And so, we're evolving too. Yes. So I think more than it being, and it certainly is a down market. And to everyone out there who is struggling to find employment, I have been there, and I have a lot of empathy for what they're going through. At the same time, there's a lot of evolution happening, and it's really changing the landscape. And I think some of these changes, while they may have been accelerated by COVID-19, I think some of them were already in the works of happening, and I see those trends continuing even after the pandemic ends.
Yeah, that kind of fits into some of my questions I have for you in terms of the trends and how things are changing, and maybe how COVID-19 has changed them and how you see that. If you can maybe expound on that a little more, that'd be great.
Yeah, so you know, one of the things that was happening, of course, prior to COVID-19, and I really think this is something that's been happening for about 15 years, in my estimate. I think some people would argue it was happening longer. But especially within American society, there had been a shift going on where both companies and candidates were becoming just as focused on an alignment of values and principles and purpose as they were on the hard skills necessary to perform in a role. And if anything, I think that the soft skills are becoming even more critical in the hiring process. I think that most candidates really want a home where they can be productive, feel successful, be a part of something. And conversely, the cost of turnover is incredibly expensive to any organization. And I think that most employers are looking for those great fits as well. And the reason why I think COVID, where I think COVID comes into play, is that, you know, a lot of folks have lost their positions, or they've been furloughed. And now that employers are starting to bring folks back on, I think employers are being really, really careful about who is a great fit for their organization. But I think candidates are doing the same thing. If they feel a little burned or jaded by an organization letting them go because they were deemed non-essential, I think they want to make certain they're essential the next time they land in a job. Because I think if the pandemic has done anything, it's made us all realize that we can have a great, growing, robust economy, but when something like this hits, it really causes a shakeup and changes. So I think there's an increased level of positive caution that both employers and job seekers are taking in their decision-making process in terms of coming together.
Wow, that's so brilliant. I love it. So I've experienced that in talking to job seekers and friends, you know, friends who have been laid off, and my heart goes out to them, as to everyone, you know, who's been affected by this in any way. But, you know, speaking as someone, you know, who's been in IT for over 20 years in the same position, as saying, you know, I'm going to take my time this time, and I'm going to make sure I'm doing what I really want to do. So it's that purpose. It's that connection. So yeah, on both sides. I've been seeing it more on the employer side, but now I think you're right. I think that job seekers too are becoming more in tune with this. That's kind of been my perspective. Yep,
I would agree with you.
Yeah, that's really amazing. So how would that translate if someone's, you know, because I write resumes for people. So like, how would it translate for someone writing their own resume, or something to be aware of in a resume, you know, like?
So I think that's a great question. I different people have different opinions on this. I think the objective statement has all of a sudden become one of the most important things on a resume. And I think there's some objective statements out there that could really use some work. As an example, for someone to say that I am interested in enhancing my skills and contributing to a company where I can be a fit, that's very generic. It's not really describing who someone is and what they're looking for. I think a job seeker really needs to start to get a little bold and talk a little bit about who they are and what type of an organization they're looking for. And instead of just describing what they do on their resume, putting themselves out there and describing what they want to be a part of. And, you know, without being inappropriate and revealing non-essential information, giving us a glimpse into who they are and what their goals are, specific goals. Yes. And so I think the objective statement is the appropriate place to put that into a resume. I know objective statements don't really get a lot of attraction in an applicant tracking system, but there are humans that read resumes too. And I think those people that care about that will read into that.
So interesting. And there's this kind of a new trend that I had been looking at lately, you know, for the last year or so, about the human voice resume. And that kind of speaks to that. It's speaking about, you know, saying who you are, giving more of yourself, including the value you bring, but more of who you are and kind of where you would fit in. So that's really good to hear that perspective. I thought honestly, like from a technical point of view, like I thought objective statements were just kind of out. Like I just do like the summary, you know, or, you know, I was wondering if that was becoming out as well, but it's refreshing to hear that no matter what, you know, kind of connecting who you are and then, and fitting in with the job as well, right? The description and what it is. So kind of making a connection, like a merge between, like you were discussing, like a merge between the person and the employer, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, again, conversely, a company that I would want to work for is going to be a company that not just talks about what they do and how long they've been in business, but hopefully, you know, who they are and that they, that they really express their values and the things that are important to them. And for me personally, I'm not going to be interested in an organization that is veiled in and shrouded in, you know, too much mystery. I want to know what you're all about. And, you know, I'm going to read, you're going to check my references as a candidate, and I'm going to check your Glassdoor and LinkedIn and your reputation as a company as well, because that matters to me.
Exactly. It's not just about just a job anymore. I just need a job. It's about where am I going to belong?
I agree. I think the Justa is in large part going away. Having said that, I know that if someone's out of work and they need a paycheck, that shifts that perspective, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I agree by and large that the Justa mentality is reducing.
Yes. And I did think of that too. You know, when you're in a dire straits, when you need a job, you need a job. Yep. But even if you get that just a job, you can then forward and start, you know, looking for that fit, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
So I wanted to ask you too, I mean, being a military veteran, and always thank you for your service. Like if you could give some perspective, you know, of any advice of a civil, you know, a veteran seeking civilian work now during these times, or if, you know, anything of that nature, because you do hold that, you know, value, I believe.
Yeah. No, and thank you very much. I appreciate that. It was an honor to serve. And I made some lifelong relationships through my service as well. I'll tell you, I've worked with a lot of veterans, and you know, this is a fairly obvious statement, but I'll say it as kind of a backstory. You know, a lot of employers like to employ veterans because of strength of character, as well as leadership qualities that they've demonstrated while they were in service. However, some of our service members, especially that first job coming out of the military, they struggle with wanting to come into an organization at that same level of leadership that they enjoyed or that they held while they were in the military. And the reality is oftentimes our veteran candidates, they just need to be prepared to possibly have to put in a bit of work and time building up their civilian credentials in order to reattain and hopefully exceed that leadership level that they held while serving in the military. And this doesn't mean that they have to take an entry-level job if they've been, you know, incredibly experienced and they can demonstrate that in terms of what they've done. It's just not necessarily going to be a direct lateral. The reality is that a lot of civilian employers don't understand what a veteran may have gone through in their training and their service. So my advice to veterans is to be a little humble and understand that you were a civilian before you were a veteran, and now you're back out in the civilian world, but a lot of civilians have not had that veteran experience. So help them to understand, but also be ready to come in. And if you've got to be a notch down from where you thought you should be, come in and show them and demonstrate. Companies love promoting top talent. So be that person when you come in.
Wow, that's so brilliant. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be so valuable to so many people. I was going to ask, I mean, you kind of touched upon it, you know, in terms of applicant tracking systems. I'm going to go back a little, like track back a little bit.
Sure.
You know, does Acclivity use them, or how, you know, to, or can you explain the process of how you find the right candidate for healthcare organizations?
Sure. Yeah, so we absolutely use an applicant tracking system. We use a system called Bullhorn, and we use that for our applicant tracking as well as our client relation manager. And I'll tell you, anytime we get a resume that looks like it's someone that we could place somewhere at some time, because ultimately we are a staffing agency, and so we're trying to make, you know, really good matches, positive matches between great candidates and employers with excellent reputations. So we'll take that resume, we'll put it into our database, and we parse it, and that's what an applicant tracking system will do, which it electronically divides and segments the resume content into searchable terms. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. So we're always building up our database, but when it comes to the actual search, I'll tell you, before we even start a search at Acclivity and at a lot of good matchmaking companies, we'll spend a lot of time up front with the client really digging deep into the specifics of who and what they're really looking for in order to enhance their team. And the more information we can get from the client, we can then feed those as searchable strings into our applicant tracking system when we go to search for candidates. And of course, we're always going to start in our own database first, because that's the information that we have right in front of us. And beyond the database, we all have very robust networks. And, you know, I like to call people that I know to try to get referrals from folks that they've worked with before, because that's, to me, that's just a leg up in terms of understanding who a candidate is. Of course, beyond that, if we don't have the candidate that we need in our database or through our networks, we do use traditional internet methods as well, such as LinkedIn and Indeed. But really, it's more about those professional networks, relationships, employer and employee brand, and of course, our database.
Mm-hmm. Kind of as you were speaking about before, it's that connection. It's that kind of knowing what you want or help. It's that information. It's that connection between the employer and the seeker, right?
Absolutely.
What do we want? What do we really want? So that can be conveyed to the you know, out there, so that the right job seeker can find it. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. And I'll throw in a little bit of a tip. And this is kind of blending our conversation about military veterans as well as an ATS. So many resumes still get touched by human hands and looked at, but many resumes first and foremost get thrown into a database and parsed and then searched again. So when a candidate creates their resume, I think it's really important that they're cognizant that yes, a human may be reading this, but it also needs to be recallable within a database. And so one of the pieces of advice that I would give to candidates is to pay close attention to the job titles that they're utilizing. Some job titles are very internal. As an example, I worked for Target stores for a while, and I was a store team leader. And if you didn't work for Target, you might not know that a store team leader is actually just their term for a store manager. Some people will make that leap right away, but some won't. It might just sound like that I led a team within the store. But this happens a lot with our military veterans, where they have these really funky titles that are incredibly military internal. And out of a matter of integrity, which I respect and honor, they want to use and sometimes insist upon using that exact same title on their resume. And I say, and I'm not alone here, that it is very okay to reword a title so that it makes sense to everyone. And job titles are one of the most common search criteria in an ATS. So if you have a job title that just doesn't translate to anyone else, it's never going to come up in a search.
Right. And what if it's slightly different, but it's similar, right? So if it's someone's doing product development, or you know, and they're calling for a product owner, and someone's a product manager, they want to change in their title to product owner.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as long as someone's not misrepresenting themselves, right? So if they were a director, you know, they should not put down that they were a vice president or vice versa, right? So that's an intentional misrepresentation. But if there is a title that they held, a common title in the military, as an example, would be a personnelman. Okay, well, a personnelman is just not a title we use in the civilian community. So instead, we would call that person an administrative assistant or an administrative professional or an administrative manager, depending upon what their level was obtained through the military. And so, to come out and use the title personnelman on a resume, a lot of people are going to look at that and go, I have no idea what that is.
Right, exactly. And I actually do work with a lot of military veterans as well. I used an IT example, but I do work with a lot, you know, veterans. And, you know, there's that sergeant, master sergeant. And it doesn't exactly say what they do. Maybe they're more of an executive assistant. So that's what it, you know, they kind of need to extract what they're doing. And again, matching it, like you said, to a common civilian title.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. That's incredible advice. I mean, I love this because I never know what I'm going to hear, and it's valuable for me, and I know it's valuable for so many. You mentioned a couple, you know, that you are hiring. If you want to just kind of speak a little bit more about that, like what you're looking for to help job seekers out there who may want to apply to Eclivity.
Sure. Yeah. So I am actually putting together a team. I've hired my first two, and my third one starts in a couple of weeks. So I'm hiring a team of senior full desk recruiters. And just to explain the terminology, a full desk recruiter, for those that don't know, within the agency world, are recruiters that actually do the business development and selling function, the client facing part, and the recruiting role. So my recruiters will actually engage clients and build relationships and earn their business through job orders and then return to their desk, so to speak, and fill that job order with a candidate and then handle the client service and account management of that as well. So it's a very busy, very all-inclusive job. But people who run a full desk absolutely love it because there's no handoff, where in a traditional agency environment, someone will sell it and then they hand it off to a recruiter to fill it. And sometimes there's a gap that gets lost in that communication process. So I'm looking specifically for folks who have run a full desk, preferably with a staffing agency, preferably in the healthcare industry with a minimum of 2 years of experience. And the opportunity that I'm hiring for here is for a team that is remote and will continue to be remote even after the pandemic ends. So I am right now sitting in my home office, which is where I work a crazy amount of hours every week. And my entire team is all working from home and will all continue working from home.
Well, that's awesome because it's very reassuring, I think, in this time too. It's great to work from home.
So. Well, you know, what's interesting about it is that pre-COVID, we were already trending towards some things such as video interviews and remote work opportunities. And then the presence of COVID-19 and the occurrence of the pandemic just accelerated those trends that were already happening. But I don't see those trends reversing after the pandemic passes. I think video interviews are here to stay. I think we all need to get really comfortable with Zoom and Google Video and all the other tools that are out there, and remote work opportunity. It's amazing because there are so many resources out there to help managers manage productivity and efficiencies with the remote workforce. So there's an entire industry being built up around being remote.
Yes, I'm sitting, you can't see me, but I'm nodding my head up and down the whole time.
That's great. That's like, because we're not on a video call. Right.
There's a reason for that. Just kidding. For me, on my side. I'm sure you look gorgeous. For me, I don't know. is there a website they can, you know, my listeners can go to check out job opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is www.acclivityhealthcare.com, and Acclivity is Acclivity. And we have that job, the senior full desk recruiter, posted there. But we also have other jobs that we're hiring. If someone wants to work out of an office, we do have an office in Scottsdale that part of our team works out of. And of course, we have lots of healthcare jobs on our website as well.
So awesome, Rick. This has been amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
You are so welcome, Mukhtada. It's a pleasure to reconnect with you, and I'm happy to do this.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And everyone, if you have further questions, feel free to contact me. And my website is www.righttointerview.com. Thank you so much again, Rick Gonzalez.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.